You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of January 24th, 2024, and you've gotta shoot them all, pal world.
This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Chester.
And I'm George Ketchum Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless podcast about video games. And as you graced us with the theme song in the intro,
You can fix that in post, right? You can make me sound good.
Yeah, I'll run it through the auto tune and
thanks, bud.
Well, actually, I won't, because then we'll get sued by Nintendo, which is probably and I don't want that sort of heat. I don't need the Pokemon Company heat on me. but it's relevant because we're gonna talk about Pal World.
What a name, by the way, for a video game, Pal World.
Pal World. Has anyone made the joke in the United States, it's NTSC, or in Japan, it's PAL World, but in the United States, it's NTSC World.
Well, I don't get it.
It's a different television specifications.
I can confirm with some certainty no one has made that joke.
PAL World is a much more British way of doing it, I feel like.
It is, yeah.
gosh, man, I feel like this wasn't really on my radar at all, and then all of a sudden over the past couple weeks it kind of got on everybody's radar, and I haven't even had a chance to play it hands-on yet.
It is wild how successful this game has become already.
I mean, I guess start us, because you played a little bit of it, right?
Yeah, I probably played like 6 hours or something, so like a decent chunk. Built, I caught Pokemon, fought a boss, all that good stuff.
I guess the summary is this game looks a lot like a Pokemon style game, so much so that there's allegations of plagiarism or copyright violation. I don't exactly know how to classify it, but on top of that, it takes that aesthetic, but it adds a bunch of stuff to it. It seems like there's crafting, survival stuff. There's obviously shooting in it, third person shooting. And it's just kind of become this, you know, quick flash phenomenon here. So, but just like, because I haven't played it yet, as a game, like pressing buttons and running around, like how has it been so far?
As a game, it's actually quite fun. So, The strongest comparison, I think, is to Ark Survival Evolved.
Okay. Which is also very popular.
Which is another survival game in which there are animals roaming the planet. I guess in that case, it is dinosaurs.
Yeah, dinos, right?
Yeah. I mean, the fundamental, the way that I like to think about it is you've got two genres stacked on top of each other, right? You have the Pokemon style. You got to go catch them all. You beat animals into submission until they have a shred of health. You throw a ball at them, they go inside the ball, right? On top of that are the survival mechanics that you'll find in games like Ark Survival Evolved, but Valheim and numerous other survival games, where you're building a base, there are occasional raids onto your base from enemies, in this case, enemy pals or whatever, Pokemon. You have a hunger mechanic, there's a water mechanic, there's a great deal of crafting and a technology tree to unlock crafting materials. And all of that is in service to get better weapons, to get fight against larger pals and add them to your repertoire. So it's those two worlds put on top of each other. Yeah. Now, the Pokemon side of things, compelling, right? Like there's cool pals out there to capture. You can do fun and wacky stuff with them. Yes, there are guns, but even guns aside, like they're just cool things you could do. Like ride a boar as your mount as you run around the world, right? You're riding a Pokemon or a pal. There are enemies that you can pick up and use as flamethrowers, like a fire Pokemon will be your weapon as they shoot fire out from them, you know?
Oh my God.
Like there's just fun, wacky stuff to do, and you can put them to work in your base as well. So a lot of the mechanics that you'd be familiar with in something like Valheim, where you're chopping trees and mining for ore to build buildings and craft resources, you could set your Pokemon to do that while you're out adventuring, which is just kind of a like a lower barrier to enjoy the survival components, because you have this sort of crew of workers, of enslaved pals, or if you will. The survival elements are all also super compelling. And what I will say that to maybe not even this game's credit, I think a fundamental truth that maybe the larger AAA companies have not yet realized is that this mechanic, the survival mechanic, specifically the multiplayer one, where you're building a base with friends and crafting resources to produce a base and then going and doing something else, that is a fundamentally successful component right now in this day and age. Vast majority of people who play video games regularly cite playing with friends as one of their primary motivators. Mm-hmm. The large group of people who broadcast content out on Twitch and YouTube, this type of game is perfect from a viewing experience, right? Like, you get downtime to chat with your audience. Like, it just, it is a viewable, watchable, chill game.
Other streamers can participate
with
the multiplayer, like all that's,
exactly. Yeah. And the degrees of challenge are variable enough where on one hand you have just fun gameplay, and on the other hand, you have the cozy cottagecore fantasy of living an agrarian lifestyle, right?
Right. Like, of having Pokemon buddies in your cabin.
What I am shocked at this point is that we haven't seen more of this already. Now, we've seen a lot of it, but usually they lean heavily on the survival element of it. But yeah. I genuinely think that if you slap this cottagecore fantasy onto pretty much any game system, multiplayer arena shooter, fucking Dark Souls, like, you will have a winning formula. I firmly believe that right now it is just in the zeitgeist, in the way almost like a MOBA could be. And I think to that end, that's one of the reasons why this game is successful. It's not just the fact that it is Pokemon adjacent, because it is, but I think a lot of the credit for this game being successful is just the fact that that survival element is so critically cherished right now, and it's just such a compelling feedback loop when tied to any other mechanic. So that's kind of where we're at. I will say, having played it, there's a lot of gripes because it's in early access. There's like weird funky building issues and bugs that you'll encounter. There's some frustrating elements, like I built a really awesome base and then a fucking fire pal showed up and scorched it to the ground, and I have to rebuild it from scratch. Super frustrating stuff that is just like harder to read, but for the most part,
but that's like meant as a purposeful thing, right? Like, that, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, but like, then I should have been, I don't know, maybe I should have been forewarned or had better defenses, but it's really obnoxious to build a base and have a single fire torch it, you know? Like, this fucking fire dude showed up, torched the thing and left. And by the time, you know, we were able to respawn, the building is destroyed completely. Like, that's a frustrating element versus say like, oh, you've done half damage, but I was able to come back and save it. Right. So there's like little elements like that, in my opinion, need some work, but again, it's technically in early access. So
how intense is the survival portion to it?
It's not super intense. This is not a hardcore survival game as much like Ark is, right? It is very easy to feed yourself. It is very easy to stay warm. That's not a really major component.
Right.
It's just another lever to pull to encourage you to craft things and experiment with cooking. You can eat your pals and chop them up into little pieces and make good food out of them. So,
waste not, want not.
Well, because you're catching these pals all the time, they're really not pals, I guess, at that point. They're for butchery. There's plenty to eat. So survival elements, not so much. It's mostly like the combat involved with the Pokemon that is kind of like the challenge point there.
I mean, it's your point about the survival thing becoming like a zeitgeist set of mechanics in the same way that a MOBA was or an FPS was or whatever, the zeitgeist is something that I'm still like wrapping my head around, because I never really thought about it in those terms, but you're completely right. I mean, it's now become like those mechanics are not necessarily a like unique feature anymore. It's like they're an expected feature, and then you build your stuff around them to make the game unique. Whereas when it first started, whether it's, you know, Minecraft or Don't Starve or any of those like kind of V1 versions of that stuff.
Yeah.
That was the point. And then the stuff was built around it. But now like that's like the core expectations.
Exactly.
And,
And I played a lot of these. Like, I've played The Forest, the sequels of The Forest. I played V Rising and Valheim, yeah. Ark Survival Evolved. Like, there's a lot of these types of games. The Island, The Raft. Like, there's a bunch of survival games like this where there's some component that circles around the survival element that is compelling. It's the horror elements in the in The Forest, or in V Rising, it's kind of like the cool sort of roguelike action combat.
Yeah. And so I guess the early access nature makes sense that it could be a little rough around the edges, but like generally speaking, it seems like, you know, people are enjoying it quite a bit. And I'm assuming it's like the multiplayer has taken off quite a bit. Like, is it a large multiplayer thing or is it just like a few people?
So what's actually really cool is I think it scales depending on whether or not you have a dedicated server or not. And there are already mods to expand that. So I think at base, I want to say 4. I could be wrong. I've only been playing it with a group of 3, but I think it's 4. If you have a dedicated server, it's up to 32. And I've seen some content creators create servers that are modded to allow like almost any number, which is buck wild. Like at that point, it's basically a Pokemon MMO, right? Yeah. Which is really cool. Like, if you're just into this kind of thing and you're playing with a huge group of friends, how rad is it to sort of travel around and see different people's bases and everyone's like riding different Pokemon?
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I mean, let's talk about that, because my first response to this was, I mean, the game, I guess like my take on this is like, oh yeah, like I kind of know what this game, like you can quickly grok like what the deal is.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Where I was like, okay, like I understand what this game is pretty quickly from looking at it. But then I was like, okay, well, like, why is it so popular then? And then the thing that occurred to me is, this is filling a demand that the Pokemon Company has been unable to fill for probably 10 plus years now.
Hands down. Like, they have abdicated the throne, okay? Of course, people will aim to supersede you, you know?
Yeah. But it's like, what is the demand? Because people have been dissatisfied with Pokemon for a long time, even though it continues to sell and continues to be super popular. I feel like
you and I are one of the most vocal
detractors. I feel like, I mean, this is where I'll kind of give ourselves credit. We're like, we were a little bit ahead of the curve on this, because I'm hearing more and more people say like just how rough those games are, just in both in terms of, you know, the design, but also the seeming level of effort put into them. I mean, it just seems like no one has been long-term Pokemon fans have not been super satisfied with Pokemon recently. But what is it about this? Like, which part of the dissatisfaction does this soothe most readily?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good question.
It's easy to say it's like, oh, it's mature, the guns or whatever, but I don't think it's
the guns. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's the guns. I think there's two things. One is, at this point, almost anything would be nice, right? Like, I think the state of Pokemon has been creatively vapid and uninteresting, like you said, for more than a decade, right? Technical failures and creative failures abound, right? Yeah. You don't need much to scratch an itch, right, in that sense. The other interesting thing is it is an abandoned open field, right? Because Nintendo... Mm-hmm. is so notoriously litigious, and very few have tried to make a play on this mechanic at all, knowing that people will compare them unfavorably to Pokemon. The field has been wide open, right? And so I think as a result, you don't need much to sort of trigger, oh, well, I'm going to give that a look, right? So I think at the baseline, that's kind of like the context for it.
Right.
But in terms of like the itch that you're scratching, I think you're right. It's not the guns. It's not the maturity of it either. I think it's the open world aspect of it. Like the fact that this is a realized Pokemon universe, right? Which is to say, there are all these cool little things that the original Pokemon satisfied, right? Like, they're cute, they're funny. You catch them, there's a good variety, they've got the different types. Like, it has the core fundamental Pokemon nostalgia thing, but there's this open world success to it, right? Or element to it that I think is really driving it. I mean, let's say, I don't know how you feel about it, I guess, but like, I still have some nostalgia for Pokemon, despite being a tractor for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. There's still something about it that is fascinating to me. And this, for once in our lives, is someone actually taking creative risks with that. So, like, in a way, it is the IP. It is the nostalgia factor, right? You've already heard me struggle, and I will continue to struggle, calling these things pals and not Pokemon.
Yeah.
And everyone I've talked to and played with, like, offhand, call them Pokemon. Like, that, they're just Pokemon, right? Because right. that's just, that is the element, the formula of that world is here, and we're seeing something creatively done, right?
It's
and
having their, like, tissue and Kleenex moment where it's now we can just, like, call everything a Pokemon.
Yeah, like, you know, in a way, it's like, look, say what you will about the varying successes in the Star Wars franchise over the years, right? But I'm of the opinion that the vast majority of Star Wars content sucks and is creatively uninteresting, right?
Right.
And I love Star Wars. I'm a diehard Star Wars fan, but I think those things are true.
Well, it's just a numbers game. They put out so much stuff that has been not up to par that it's created a deficit.
Well, and there's been, well, and then thinking back to the latest film trilogy, there is a clear desire to tap existing things and not push new boundaries, right?
Yeah.
The exception, notably, being Andor, which I think is the most daring and compelling piece of Star Wars content that we've had in well over a decade, right?
It's just a good TV show, too, where it's like, a great TV show. You started with a good TV show.
I can't swim. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing, right? I think Pal World does that same thing by purview of just taking the Pokemon formula and doing something with it. Like, I don't even think it's very daring, but it just, it's such an extreme case that I think it's going to garner all that interest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? Is there some other element that you think is sort of driving the Pokemon
craze?
I think
there's, I have the same nostalgia for Pokemon that you have in that there was something about Pokemon, and honestly, I think they did a good job early on, you know, using the cartoon show to flesh it out a little bit, where it was a game that hinted at a larger world that had its own universe. Set of rules, its own kind of landscape, its own systems, its own societal structures. I think the Star Wars analogy is actually very apt because Star Wars is a great universe. They just make terrible media in it.
Yeah.
And I feel like Pokemon's the same way. We're like, Pokemon is a fundamentally interesting universe from a kind of cozy core perspective. You know, like this. It's funny. I watched Pokemon Resort recently.
Yes.
And it was a similar thing because, like, oh, this is the world that I'm interested in. Like, how does a world with Pokemon in it function?
Yeah. What's the Yabba Dabba Doo show?
The Flintstones? You
know, where, it's like the Flintstones, right? Where, like, there's a dinosaur garbage disposal. And you have to be what are all the other dinosaur shit?
There's, like, different rules in this world, but there are still rules, which makes it compelling to think about. And I think that's what going all the way back to Pokemon Red and Blue, like, that was the magic of that game, where they created a cozy sci-fi world that is analogous to ours but different in some fundamental ways, and you just wanted to explore that. And as the years have gone on, and as the technology has evolved, and as game design has evolved itself, you would have hoped that Pokemon would have had its Breath of the Wild style moment, and it doesn't even. That's why I played that stupid Arceus game a couple years ago, where I was like,
"You took one this for the team, like, as I recall."
Yeah, they're like at least trying something. Like, they're at least like nudging towards something. But even that was a very conservative try at that. But like, and I think that's why people are so hungry for it, because there's such a universe here that could be tapped. But the Pokemon Company, either cannot or will not take the step to flesh that world out now that there's more of a time and technology and space to do it.
Like, as a thought exercise, right? And I've been asking some people this, and the answer is, like, universally, of course, right? What would have happened if Nintendo and the Pokemon Company had seen this game in development and said, hey, you know what? We're going to buy your company.
Right.
And we're going to make this work for us. make this game, and it's going to be a real Pokemon game. Yeah. Yes, you want guns, but you know what? We'll swap those out for fucking plants that shoot seeds, right? Like
Splatoon characters. We're going to have paint. I don't care.
Yeah, like instead of eating Pokemon, every time you kill a Pokemon, they drop like fucking cheeseburgers or something, right? Like, make it G-rated.
Yeah.
Everything else the same. You know, you've got this interesting world. You've got this interesting environment. You've got classic Pokemon that you know and love. There's already a mod for Power World, by the way, that does this anyway. And this were launched as an official Pokemon game. This would be fucking crazy. Like, you think Power World is a success? Like, this would be huge. I think it would be probably one of the best-selling games of the year. Easily. If this had just been official.
I mean, right? I was thinking about Pokemon and this concept the other day because even today, in 2024...
The year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord, 2024. My family and I were at a park and we were walking back to leave. And as we were, like, walking along the path, there was a large group of nerdy looking people standing in a circle, looking at their phones, swiping around. And I'm like, this is a fucking Pokemon Go meetup. Like, this is what this is. And I kind of like peeped their screen as we were walking past. And lo and behold, it was a Pokemon Go meetup. And like, even after all these years, after all of the kind of ups and downs of that game, there are still people doing nerd herds to go to parks to catch their like legendary Pokemon. And it's like, but that's the closest we've gotten. That's the closest we've gotten to that open universe experience that that those original games promised. And to your point, if they just turn that into a real game versus like a mobile like geocaching thing, like that's, I think there's such a wasted hunger for that.
Yeah. It's shocking, to be honest, that it's taken this long, one, for any game company to try their hat and throw it in the ring.
Yeah. Right. I mean, maybe they've all gotten sued into oblivion.
Maybe, like, yeah, that's a good point. And then on the other hand, like, it's shocking to me that the company has not realized, like, the sort of cash cow that they have. Like, they'd rather churn out easy, poorly made Pokemon entries, knowing that the IP will carry them, versus bringing in a whole new era of, and ushering in a whole new era of excellent Pokemon games.
Yeah. I mean, and if I guess the telling thing is if something like Ark is able to become a huge game, you know, perennially popular for many years now, which is, I mean, no offense to Ark, but like it's very generic. I mean, it's just like dinosaurs and lasers and tech stuff. I mean, if that's able to be popular, then imagine one of the biggest IPs on the planet doing it.
Exactly. and there's no doubt, like, they've gotten letters, like, they know, right?
Yeah,
like, it's not like the Pokemon community is a quiet one, you know, like they are making asks and making demands. And you made a good point bringing up Breath of the Wild, because that was such a fucking game changer of what Nintendo could do with existing IP.
Yeah,
that you would think eyes at these companies would be everywhere,
right?
Thinking, Where's the next one? Yeah, like, how do we revolutionize it, bring it into the new era, and become one of the highest-selling games on the system as a whole? Like, I mean, maybe this is, like, a huge exaggeration. I think if this game were an official Pokemon game, it would be a bigger seller than Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Pokemon games are already the biggest-selling video games out there.
Oh, are they? Do they beat Legend of Zelda for sales?
I mean probably not the latest Legend of Zelda games, like, I think especially Tears of the Kingdom did crazy numbers, but like, I mean, Pokemon games are amazing sellers, right? And like, imagine if it was rooted in one of the most popular gameplay genres of the day. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And also, I mean this is a thing that maybe Nintendo doesn't want to pursue, but this sort of game lends itself very well to ongoing monetization. It just, in terms of whatever you want to do, skins or season passes or events or whatever, you know.
If I could have been working at Nintendo 15 years ago or whatever, the Pokemon company, and influenced them to make this decision. Whew.
Let's talk a little bit about the kind of the controversy around what the kind of like the asset swaps or maybe the asset stealings that have potentially happened here. I'm no artist, but these Twitter threads of people comparing the 3D renders and meshes and rigs and stuff, it looks pretty compelling. Suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, I will say in the beginning too, like the Pokemon fan base, this is one of those scenarios where no matter who wins, we lose, right?
Right.
Because some of the ardor right now against Palworld is being driven by toxic Pokemon fans, right? Like, artists at the company have gotten death threats from Pokemon fans. Not fucking cool, right? Yeah. But also, why the hell are you defending Pokemon to that extent? Like, you got
the thing that you've hated for so long.
Yeah, like, pick a different IP. I mean, at least the Zack Snyder fans had an ethos, you know what I mean? Like, there's something there. So that's sus. But yes, you know, looking at, and anybody can find these, there's a really long Twitter thread from someone named Cecilia Fay that has a side-by-side comparison of the Palworld Pokemon and the Pokemon.
Yeah.
And yeah, some of them look spot on. There's another thread that compares the meshes that, you know, it's not node for node, but it looks very, very close.
Yeah.
To the point where if this wasn't a copy of Pokemon, then they probably traced them and made some little tweaks, right?
Those quotes in that VGC article that you shared, like they got some anonymous video game artists to take a look, and the video game artists were basically like, look, if this were for this to have happened in a vacuum and it be this close is almost impossible.
Yeah. This is one of those weird scenarios where I don't know what's going on, right? Because Palworld made an announcement a while back, and Nintendo has had to have known about them, and they've not yet been sued.
Right.
Palworld also has a legal team that said, like, we should be in the clear. I think the CEO was basically like, hey, we had teams, we looked into it, we should be able to defend what we've done, right?
Right.
So to some degree, maybe this has already been settled, right? Like,
right.
And they there's a line and they went right the fuck up to it,
right?
But maybe didn't cross it from a legal perspective. So maybe that's the case. That being said, right, Nintendo is litigious usually for good reasons, right? Even suing some small fry that isn't going to have a major impact on the success of a Nintendo title, you defend your IP, because if you don't, then it's harder to defend that IP in the future against other competitors, right?
Exactly.
Someone else can come up with a very similar game, and they say, well, you let that one pass, but you didn't let us pass. Like, what's the deal, right?
Yep.
And so there's a certain kind of legal obligation on an IP holder's part to defend that IP. And this, to me, seems like a pretty obvious case of, at the very least, sue and settle, right? Or sue
it's
and get
it. It's crazy
that
they go after, like, fan-made things, but not, like, fully commercialized things like this.
Yeah, that launch day one on Game Pass. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is literally on an Xbox platform. It's not even some, like, sketchy, like, Steam thing where you have to turn off your safe search, you know, to get to. It's like...
Yeah, this isn't a dark web Pokemon game.
No, like, Phil Spencer knows about this game. So it's, like, it's weird. It's... There must be something that it can just get to this point because there's no hiding it.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, let's put all the legal things aside, right? In academia, that follows different rules around plagiarism, right? Like, the legal lines aren't so drawn in stone, right? Mm. But if someone were, let's say, like, let's imagine this is, like, an essay or something, and it looks that close to another essay,
right,
and you did not cite it, you fucking plagiarized. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's plagiarism. It might not be, you might not have infringed on Nintendo's copyright, but as far as I'm concerned, a lot of these Pokemon are straight up plagiarized ripoffs of Pokemon games. That's my take. It's not a legal answer, and I'm not even saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but you fucking did it, in my opinion.
I mean, it's just so hard to argue some of these comparisons and just how these things are even put together. I mean, it does seem almost like all these people should be playing the lottery if this is a coincidence. You know, like, it's just like they have the gift, you know, that they're like a, I don't know, they're that enemy in Metal Gear Solid 2 that's just preternaturally lucky, you know, like it's just, it just doesn't make any sense. But to your point, maybe this is like a good example of, you know, if you look at it from like an academic perspective, like, okay, cite your sources and then make some, because they're clearly making something new. They're just using characters and putting them in a different context with different gameplay and like doing other things. And so, I mean, honestly, this is a great example of why we need much more modernized copyright and public domain and all sorts of, you know, intellectual property law, because, you know, Pikachu is what, 30 years old or something? Like, if someone wants to do something interesting with, you know, the original 151 in a game, it seems like we should be more liberal with that if they're actually doing something new with the game itself, you know?
Yeah, especially if the Pokemon company is doing jack shit with their own IP. Like, fucking have at it, as far as I'm concerned.
What this does in terms of a precedent, I mean, I think even if they don't go full, like, hey, everyone can now rip off Pokemon, I think it does set a precedent that people are still hungry for this survival type stuff, but they want a variety of aesthetics and tones and you know, art styles in the world. And so I could imagine this like spawning its own little cottage industry of like Pokemon adjacent, you know, where's the Digimon version of this? This could very easily be like, hey, you know how there's like a million like gritty horror survival games? Is this the entry point of the, like, you know, Miyazaki inspired survival game? Like, is this where we start it?
Yeah. I mean, that'd be dope. Sign me up for that. Where I'm like in that world. That'd be great.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like it's just very funny that it's very funny that a huge multi-billion dollar company has either decided not to pursue this or was unable to mobilize to pursue this, which I guess is just another example of why independent games are important, because this is where it came from.
agreed. It's an interesting space, because I don't know. I guess we're somewhere in that middle gray area, right? Where I like this game. I think it's actually really good, and I dislike most Pokemon games. You know, and they are filling a void that has been obviously left vacant. But I do think that this game should be criticized for ripping off so many concepts of the Pokemon. Now, I get it. Like, if you're going to make a sheep Pokemon, there's only so many ways you can make something cute and fluffy, right? But a lot of those cross the line, in my opinion. And I think it's okay to have your cake and eat it too in this regard, right? To play Palworld, have a good time, and also say, but yeah, you're in a gray area, legal gray area or not. Like, you're in a gray area that makes it a little bit sus. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Agreed.
If you had to guess, like, do you think, considering the success of it, do you think Nintendo will take legal action in the coming weeks?
Oh, man, I just, if they haven't done it already and haven't even made a comment on it, then.
But maybe they didn't expect it to sell however many millions of copies they already
maybe
had.
They were like, hey, if we give this attention, it will just feed it. But now it's caught on its own, you know?
Yeah, or they just wrote it off of like, oh, you know, that's nothing.
Yeah.
It's already had over 6 million sales. that's crazy. It was selling 86,000 copies per hour over the weekend.
6 million.
And that's Steam, by the way. Those are Steam sales, because it's free to play on Game Pass. Yeah. So you have to calculate whatever the incentives, you know, Xbox has around sales targets for the title as well.
You know, maybe that's why they're so confident. Because if I'm Microsoft, they had to make a deal with Microsoft, you know, publishing and business development to even get on the store. And if you're Microsoft, you probably try to do your due diligence to not let something on your store that's going to be an issue or toxic or whatever.
So you think Xbox had the legal look?
I wonder. I mean, if there's anyone that has good lawyers, it's Microsoft, right? And so I wonder if that's why they're so confident.
Could be.
Because I just don't see this like tiny independent studio from Japan being like, yes, we had our lawyers look at it. It's like, what? Like, I'm sure you do, my friend, but like, but there's a big difference between, like, you know, your one of your coworkers' uncles who's a lawyer versus like the full might and breadth of Redmond, Washington behind you, you know?
But there's a real possibility that Xbox didn't anticipate this being as big of a success as it is either, right? Like,
I guess that's fair. I mean,
you know,
I,
worst comes to worst for a game, it's an early access. Like, let's imagine this sold 5,000 copies or something extremely mundane. Like,
right.
Nintendo says, take it down, Xbox takes it down. Like, who fucking cares, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we're in a weird place. I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's unlikely for legal action to be taken. If it is taken, my guess is it would be, the result would be like some of these Pokemon are patched out.
Yeah.
Or changed.
Exactly.
But I think at this point, like,
something
the cat,
quiet.
Yeah. The Catamon or whatever. What's the cat Pokemon? Meowth. Meowth is out of the bag.
Pokemon, but Meowth is probably what you're thinking of.
Yes. Meowth is out of the bag, you know?
The Meowth has evolved.
The Meowth has evolved, and now there's no
into putting 6 million Meowths.
Look, you
and
can't
now
put
we
Meowth.
Cannot...
You can't put Meowth back into the Pal Ball.
No,
Pokeball.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I mean this is fascinating. It's a fun, it's kind of a fun thing to start the year off with because I was just not on my radar whatsoever.
You know what's crazy? This is going to be a gamey contender.
Oh yeah, for sure. We're less than a month in. We have
less than a month in. We've already got one of the gamiest games, and we've got mind-boggling Nintendo move of the year in one foul swoop.
God damn! See, I told you this year was gonna be wild. All right, let's leave it there for this time. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. You can find our podcasts wherever you find podcasts. Stitcher, iTunes, you know the places. Do us a favor, leave us a review, and tell a friend.
All right, everyone. As always, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao.
Every time we disagree, there's a place to go to. Took more